It's good to see all who have come back this evening for that express purpose, and we trust that when we have concluded our service here on this evening, that the things that we have done in our worship today, as well as everything else, have been well pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. I'm sort of like Robert and probably some others who look like this pollen won't leave us alone, and so my voice is a little bit cracking on me, but we get through it. My wife didn't come back this evening because her head was so heavy when she left this morning, she said, with all of the sinus stuff, so she is trying to rest this evening. But again, it's just so good for us to be here, and we want to look in God's word again, to be encouraged therefrom, as we are thankful to him for giving us his word, that we might be encouraged from it, that we might know what we are to do to please him, that one day we might be able to make heaven our home. This evening we want to go to 2 Thessalonians. The chapter is 3. We want to read a couple of passages there and take our lesson from these texts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want to read verses 11 through 13. Here the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." That's what we want to talk from this last verse that I read. Be not weary in well-doing. The church at Thessalonica was relatively new, of course, when Paul wrote them this epistle. And like all churches, they had some problems. There were some among this congregation who believed in the imminent return of Christ. In other words, that Christ was getting ready to come back right then. And as a result of this, then some of them had stopped working. Others were behaving as busybodies. Paul then had to write this second epistle to correct this misunderstanding. His instruction then to this fledgling church were to withdraw from everyone that was walking disorderly. He also commanded them, as we read in the text, that they with quietness work and eat their own bread. Well, in the midst of these people with the problems that they had, so many of them walking disorderly and not working, one could understand then perhaps the reason why Paul would say in verse 13, "Be not weary in well doing." Today, there are times when we may have a tendency to become weary or discouraged ourselves. Perhaps certain circumstances of life can discourage us and cause us to become weary. It might be that on our job, things are not working out like we want them to. So we have a tendency to become discouraged. There may be some problems in our families, and we become discouraged. And then there can be other brethren or other brothers in the faith who we see are not living as they ought to be, not doing the things that they ought to be, like it was some in this congregation that we're talking about tonight, who are just being idle, not being involved, not doing what God has commanded them to do. And so we look around and we see they're not doing it. And if we listen to Satan, Satan will say to us, "Why are you doing it since they're not?" And so we become sometimes weary, or we become discouraged. The temptation may be there to give up and to quit doing what we know we ought to do, should do, for the Lord. If those times happen to us, it would be good for us to remember what the Apostle Paul said to these Christians. Don't be weary in well-doing. I know there are some there that are not working. I know there are some there that are busybodies. I know there are some there that are not doing what they're supposed to do. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let that make you weary. You know what you ought to do, so you keep on doing what you need to do in the sight of God. This evening, then, I want to share with us some reasons why we ought not and should not and must not be weary in well-doing. Number one, we ought not to become weary in well-doing because there is a great reward in well-doing. Or to put it another way, in doing good. Number two, there is a great need for us to do good or to be involved in well-doing. And thirdly, there's a great example that we need to set for other people in doing well. Let's look at these three reasons that I want to share with you tonight. I said, number one, there is a great reward in doing good. There is an intrinsic reward, and then there is an eternal reward. Intrinsic reward, I'm simply talking about that doing good, doing what we know we ought to do, doing what we know the Lord wants us to do, there is a good feeling that we ought to have inward, knowing that we are doing what God wants us to do. As an intrinsic reward. Jesus said in John chapter 13, in this particular chapter, Jesus had assembled with his apostles, and he taught them a great lesson on servanthood. You know the story there of how he took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. And he says, "I have done this as an example for you. If I, your Lord and Master, would wash your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet." What was he teaching? He was teaching the lesson that this is a good thing for you to do, is to serve other people. And then he said this in John 13 in verse number 17. He says, "If you know these things, then happy are ye if you do them. Blessed are ye if you do them." What was he saying? He was saying that if you know this is what you ought to be doing, as I have taught you, if you know this,
then you ought to just feel good about doing it because you know that's what you ought to do. When we do things tonight that we know that we ought to do, do you ever get a good feeling about that? Again, you know, I say all the time, and you've heard others say all the time, that feeling is not the whole ball game, so to speak. But when you're doing the right thing, then feeling is all right. You can feel good in doing the wrong thing, but if you know you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, you ought to just feel good about it. That's an intrinsic reward. You know, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to start shouting. And when I say shouting, I'm not talking about jumping up and down. I'm talking about being excited, feeling good about what we are doing. We can feel good right here on earth knowing that we are doing what God wants us to do. So Jesus says, I've done this for you as an example. Now, if you know these things, then blessed or happy are you if you do them. We ought to, again, just feel good when we know we are doing the right thing. But then there is also that eternal reward. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. He says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice, feel good, rejoice, and be exceeding glad. For what great is your reward in heaven? That's that eternal reward. So we can rejoice even here on earth. We can feel good here on earth. But he says, when you think about that reward that you're going to get in heaven, that eternal reward, that is certainly a great reward. So again, we can look at our circumstances, we can look at people around us, and we can see that they are not doing what they ought to be doing, that things are not working out the way we want them to work out for us in our lives. But if we don't let that stop us from doing good, one day we're going to eventually be rewarded with an eternal crown of righteousness when we do the will of the Master. And then he said this in Colossians. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. He said, and whatsoever you do, he said, do it what? Heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that it is of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. So again, you know, when you put this in perspective, sometimes when we are called upon, if you will, to do certain things, to serve in certain situations, we said, why do we have to do this? If it's something that the Lord wants us to do, we ought to be glad to do it, and we do it not as doing it unto men, but we're doing it unto the Lord. Because if we do it unto the Lord, then we shall receive, he says, the reward of inheritance. Of course, the context that he was writing in was the servant and the master. That when you're working for the man, he said, don't just work like you're working for the man. You work like you're working for the Lord. Do it heartily. Be glad to do it. Because you're doing it for the Lord, and you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Paul, he greatly encouraged the Galatian Christians. And he said basically something along the same line to them that he said to the Thessalonian Christians. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, he says, be not weary in well-doing. For what? In due season, he says, you shall reap if you faint not. You're doing well. But don't become weary, he says, in doing well. You keep on doing well because in due season, he says, you're going to reap if you faint not. And I believe that's what David had in mind when he wrote that Psalms. And I refer to a passage in the prayer that I did this morning at the close of my message. In Psalms 27 and verse 14, when David said, I had fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David was saying that I would become weary, I would give up, I would throw in the towel. David was having his struggles, running from his enemies, having all kinds of problems. But David still said, I believe that God is still good, and so I'm not going to give up. And that's what Paul was trying to get these Galatians. Don't give up, he says, in well-doing. Don't become weary in well-doing. Don't faint in well-doing. Keep on doing well, because eventually you're going to reap if you faint not. I'm saying to us tonight, church, don't give up. Don't give up. Because there's a great reward in doing well or in doing good. Not only is there a great reward in doing good, but there is a great need, I say, for us to do good. It was Edmund Burke who said, and perhaps you've heard this quote many a times, on various occasions perhaps, he said this, that all that is necessary for the forces of evil to win in the world is for enough good men to do nothing. All that is necessary, he says, for the forces of evil to win in the world is for enough good men to do nothing. So I believe even from that statement, we will see and can understand that there's a need for doing good. But even more so, there's a need to do good because the Lord has taught us in his holy book, the Bible, to do good. And whatever the Lord has taught us to do, then we need to do it. There's a need to do it if we want to please God, that is. There's a need for us to do good. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, after he had said about verse number 13 and 14 there, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king supreme or whether unto governors. And then he went on in verse number 15 and he says, for so is the will of God, that with what? Well doing, or with doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So the Lord wants us to do good. And if we consider ourselves as good folks, and I'm sure all of us tonight look at ourselves as being good. Now, we're not good enough to go to heaven within ourselves. It takes Christ for that. But we look at ourselves as being reasonably good people. Well, if we are reasonably good people, then we ought to see the need to do good, because the Lord says again in his word that we need to be some good doing, some well doing people. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, notice what he says here. He says, but love, and I look at this sometime as a proof of our sincerity and a proof of our faithfulness to the Lord, a proof of our Christianity, when we can do things like what he says in this verse. He says, but love your enemies and what? Do good. Now, the devil wants us to think that it's almost impossible to do good when your enemies are assailing you all the time. But yet Jesus says, basically, what Paul is saying through inspiration, don't let your enemies stop you from doing good. Don't become weary because your enemies are assailing you. He says, love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be what? Great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Are we trying to be godly? Do we want to be like God? Well, Luke says by inspiration that God is kind unto the unthankful and he's kind to the evil. So if we're going to be like God, then we got to be the same way. And if we're not willing to do good, then we certainly will not be those godly people. So there's a great need to do good because the Lord says, do good. Another passage where he tells us to do good is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16. And again, here's another group of Christians that the Hebrew writer was writing to who had become somewhat weary because they wanted to give up on Christ. And the purpose of the letter was to encourage them not to give up on Christ. But what does he say in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16? He says, what? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. In other words, don't you stop doing good. You're struggling with your faith in Christ, but don't you stop doing good. Why? He says, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. So again, if we want God to be pleased with us, we can't stop doing good. We got to keep on doing good. Romans chapter 12, Paul said to the Roman Christians, in verse number 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, for us to do good, to continue to do good, no matter what situation or circumstances we find ourselves surrounded with, we still are to do good. So again, he says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writing to some suffering saints who were faced with persecution. If anybody had a real reason to become weary, these Christians did. But Peter is writing to them to encourage them not to become weary, but to keep on doing good. Notice what he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. He says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise, or on the contrary, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So he says, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your persecution, your enemies who are persecuting you, in the midst of that, he says, you've been called to do good, to keep on doing good. And I know we don't enjoy being persecuted, but in spite of the fact that if we are persecuted, Peter says by inspiration, you've been called to keep on doing good, that you might inherit a blessing. So let us not then grow weary in well-doing, because when we do good, we are meeting a great need to do good, because the Lord needs us to be people that do good. And when we do good, people will notice that. They'll notice that. And that leads to my last point. We ought not become weary because there is a great example to be set by doing good. When we do good things, we set a good example for others. Think about Dorcas or Tabitha in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 36. The Bible says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman, the Bible says, was full of what kind of works? Good works and alms deeds, which she did. Do you think that was a good example for, and when you read passages surrounding that, you see that there were other women in the room. They were mourning and weeping over her. She had died. And they were mourning and weeping over her, this woman that was full of alms deeds and good works. Do you not think that that was an example, what her life was an example to them? I believe it was. When we see people doing good, it ought to be an example to us to do good. And when other people see us doing good, we are an example to them to do good. Even in the midst, again, as I say it again, in the midst of our struggles, when folks still see us doing good, that makes a great impression on them. Look at the lady in Matthew chapter 26 that anointed Jesus' feet with this expensive oil. The disciples, of course, were complaining about it because they were saying things like, this could have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus said, you got the poor with you always, but you don't have me with you always. But he said this about this lady. In verse number 10 beginning, he says, the Bible says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you this woman? For she has wrought a what? Good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And then verse 13 says this, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial for her. I think that Jesus meant that this would be a memorial and this would be a source of encouragement for other folks to do the same thing that she had done, to do good works. On another passage, Jesus says she has done what she could. Let's do what we can. Any good work that we can do, let's do it. Because it's a great example for other folks to see in doing our good works. And you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. We all know this passage, I'm sure, by heart, verse 16. Jesus says, therefore, do what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let them do what? See your good works. Notice he didn't say, talk about your good works. But he says, let them see your good works. No wonder he said in the Sermon on the Mount, again, in the next chapter, in verse number 1 through 4, chapter 6, he says, when you do your alms deed, don't do them to be seen of men. Because if you do, he says, you have your reward. He says, but don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So he didn't say go around and talk about your good works. Somebody asks you about what you did, maybe that's fine to say what you did, but sometimes people get wrapped up in talking about, I did this, I did that, I did the other, I did the other. Jesus says, let them see your good works. If you do your good works, you don't have to say it. Somebody will notice that you've done your good works. So I say to us again tonight, realize that when we do our good works, we'll set it a great example. This is our purpose as I close tonight, that was given to us by God, is to do good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, Paul says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto or for the purpose of good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. God created us in Jesus Christ, made us new creatures in Jesus Christ for the express purpose of doing good works. So let's keep on doing good works. No matter what trouble we have in life. Doesn't matter if nobody else is doing it, but you by yourself, you do it. Don't let anybody else discourage you from doing good works. And that's what Paul was trying to tell these Thessalonian Christians. Again, you got some folks in that congregation, he's saying, that's not all that they ought to be. But don't let that discourage you. Be not weary in well-doing. So tonight, may we never become weary and lose heart because of our circumstances or the negative influences that surround us. But know, as we've just mentioned in this passage that we just saw, that God has called us for a higher purpose. And that purpose is to be engaged in good works, because there is a promise of an eternal reward. Do we want that reward tonight? Then keep on doing good works. And somebody said, what's a good work? A good work is anything that God wants us to do. All the way from worship to serving a cold cup of water. Whatever it is in the book of God that he wants us to do, that's the work that we need to be involved in. So let's keep on doing good works. Let's not become weary. If you're here then tonight, you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one. Hear and believe the gospel, repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then be baptized in water for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and get involved in good works. Be faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're here tonight, maybe you have become weary in well-doing, I want to encourage you to get back into the fight, as Brother James says. Stay in the fight. Keep on doing good works. Don't let anything stop you. Stay in it till the end. If perchance you have sinned, turn away from that sin. You need to repent. I need to confess, rather. Do that. You just need prayer. Whatever your need is tonight. While we're standing and while we're singing, we're begging you to come.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. Somewhere less than for my name.
That one that would come, would you come?
I'll be somewhere listening.
Would you come?
Listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.